AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everyone? It's Tori.
And Anissa.
And this is MTV's official challenge podcast.
This week on the podcast, we have the one and only Katie Gallagher.
She was a runner-up on the 10th season of Survivor and is now a producer for The Challenge. There is nobody else who's done that before.
No one. Not one person. She has phenomenal hair, but besides that, she was the runner-up of Survivor Season 10. She was the producer on The Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, Naked and Afraid, XL, Whoa. The Challenge, Vendettas, Dirty 30, Invasion of the Champions, Rivals 3, Bloodlines, Battle of the Exes 2, and the supervising producer on Challenge All-Stars 1, 2, and 3. Please welcome Katie Gallagher.
Woo!
Thank you very much.
A lot of accomplishments.
Thanks. I've never heard it out loud like that. I'm feeling pretty good. Thank you.
Well, if we ever talk again, I will have that cheat sheet and I will read it off every time you walk by.
Yeah. If you were like a cast member, because you know we have like cast members on The Challenge we consider heavy hitters. If production were considered heavy hitters, you would be a heavy hitter of production.
Because yeah.
You've done it. You've been around the block. Not only that, you've been on a show. Not many people have actually transitioned from being on a TV.
I don't think anyone has, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think in our franchise, I don't think in The Challenge, anyone has like done The Challenge or Survivor and then was like, you know what? I'm going to make it all the way up to a producer.
Right.
So you're just going to shrug the whole... So we're going to have a silent interview with Katie where she just shrugs and is just going to be adorable for the whole time.
I'm used to, you know, interviewing people where I sit in silence and give facial expressions, so I forgot that you actually wanted to hear from me.
It's true. Well, the tables have turned, Katie, because now
it's time to speak.
You're not interviewing us. We're interviewing you. And without...
Your silence is telling us something.
Yeah.
Looks like you're holding back.
Oh, God.
Definitely not. What do you want to know?
Well, without making it too, you know, intense, let's just start with the basics. For anybody who maybe doesn't know exactly what you do on the show, would you mind explaining to us what your current role is on The Challenge?
Okay, so I am the supervising producer of the field story team of producers. So we basically dress in all black and we follow people around and we spy on them and then we take notes. And then I write questions about what happened based on what we saw and then bring you guys into interview, make you the best yous that you can be, and we all tell a story together. There's a lot of other stuff that I do that I'm not sure is that fun, but for someone that has no idea like what how a story team works on a show where you're just documenting what people do in their day-to-day, that I think hopefully makes sense.
Totally.
How did you make this transition though? Because that's a big bump from like, you know, aqua dumps and eating twigs and fighting for a quarter of a cookie to having like this really big role and being in charge.
Well, I went to school for TV production. I ran the TV station in college. I was a huge, like one of the first super uber fans of Survivor. I tried out right after the first season, at season two. So I have been studying this since, you know, I was just a viewer. I wrote my senior thesis in college on the portrayal of women in reality television and stereotypes of women.
I'd like to read that.
Yeah, and it's terrible. There was no bibliography because there was no shows. Like the only shows that were out there were like Cops, The Challenge, which was probably Road Rules Real World at that time, Survivor, The Apprentice, and maybe
Real World was still out.
Yeah, Real World. So I didn't have very much to source from, but I knew that was my passion and I knew that's what I wanted to write about. And then I interned, actually, ironically, for Viacom at 1515 Broadway in the MTV building.
Wow.
And worked in casting. And, you know, I didn't really tell anybody that when I tried out for Survivor. When I was cast on Survivor, I was working in radio. But, like, if they would have asked, I would have told them. But, you know, it just kind of worked out that way. That's how I learned how to be a producer, was by being a contestant on Survivor and being interviewed. And after Survivor, my life changed and I wanted to shift what I was doing and I moved and kind of, you know, after I'd manifested not only being on Survivor, but doing well on Survivor, I figured I could do anything. And I realized this is what I want to do. I was a storyteller on Survivor. I was somewhat of a narrator. So I figured, you know, why not just start asking around and passing out my resume.
That's so amazing.
So you're saying I started, there's a chance for me to co-produce with you.
There's always a chance.
So I have to take like 3 years off.
Yeah.
Like I have to stop doing challenges.
Yes. You have to decide
which one is going to work for me. I mean, at some point my body's going to fall apart, but before that happens, I want to get an interview and just pick people apart, but
you know,
find out what's going on.
Yeah. And a
it's
good
so
way.
And the heads of theirs.
Yeah. Katie, do you think that the reason why you are a sympathetic producer, because I do feel that way about you. I feel like I've interviewed with you before and everybody has, and you do have a way of really connecting with the person who's on the camera. Do you think that being on the show has made you more empathetic towards anybody who's actually currently filming a season because you know what it's like?
Absolutely. And I appreciate that. It's sometimes hard because I put myself in everybody else's shoes. So it's a lot of shoes that you're putting on in one day, you know? And I want to be able to tell everybody's story individually and candidly. So I don't ever want to put words in anybody's mouth. Like if somebody tells me they don't care, I'm like, great, I don't care. Like I'm not trying to make you say anything. For me personally, some producers that interviewed me, I was like, what are you trying to make me be something I'm not? And I'm just going to be candid and tell you who I am. So I hope that I can do that. And thank you for that compliment, because it's what I strive to do, is to make people feel comfortable and forget they're being interviewed. Just tell me your story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is it hard to remain unbiased?
Yes.
Yeah. I could see that.
We don't have to put that in. I was just really curious as to how, because naturally in our world, relationships will form even if we're not like talking during the season, but you see us struggle, you see the ups and downs, whether it's outside of the show and we get bad news, or it's inside relationships, drama, we get hurt, you're there for all of that.
Yeah.
So it has to be,
it's my job.
You have to connect with somebody at some point.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
my
it's
job
hard to not.
It's my job to connect with people. Sorry to step on you.
No, it's okay.
But it's also my job to be diplomatic and tell everyone's side of the story. So I definitely struggled with it early in my career, because I was like taking on everybody's emotions and it was really hard for me. I was like, felt like a piece of flesh hanging off bone by the end of it, you know, like a 12 hour interview. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's up and down. So, you know, working on some other shows and stepping outside of the challenge helped me to be able to disassociate a little bit and know how to manage that, because you can't take it all on. And, you know, just taking a breather in between interviews is a good thing too. But I am so actively involved in the story. I never know where it's going to go. So for me, I love that. You know, I'm here, I'm playing the game too. That's what I love. I love game. I'm a gamer. I'm like, have you thought about this? I love it. It's so fun. And I can't take, you know, full credit for the story. It's so many different people put it all together, including, you know, obviously the cast, the story team, it's their point of view. And then you have the post team, and then the audience makes their own decision.
Damn post team.
They're great.
They are great.
They are. I mean, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
You know, everything's fine.
Katie, is there any storyline that you've been a part of producing that you were really happy to see come to fruition on the show from any season that you worked on, or maybe a recent season?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I mean, as people that I've known for a lot of years, it's always interesting to see how people evolve. And it's not just over one season, but sometimes over many seasons, you know, and many experiences. That's hard for me to pinpoint just one, because it's hard. I mean, Tony was an interesting one. Tony came in as just a kid. And then to see him evolve into a dad, he played with his brother, which was an interesting, I just felt like I was on a journey. You know, I'm always on a journey, but that one was, you know, from hindsight was a really neat thing to see somebody that comes in wild and untamed, you know, becomes a good guy and a dad.
I love to see that happen though, to be able to like, physically watch the growth, like be able to hit pause, play and rewind on it and be like, okay, you can physically, like you can literally see this. But I want to know, had, you know, Viacom and CBS merged back then when you did season 10 or after season 10 of Survivor and they were casting people from Survivor to go on the challenge, would you have done it?
Ooh.
I mean, no, sure, if you saw my season of Survivor, but actually, wasn't that good at the challenges?
Hey, give yourself some credit, Katie.
I think you were probably likable. I haven't watched you. I've seen pictures of you like dirty and frail.
Dirty and frail.
Just making it. Everybody looks like shit on Survivor. I mean, not like shit. I mean, come on, you're starving.
You looked dirty and frail.
Oh my God. Well, no, you still look beautiful, just with more dirt on your face. Whatever. We're gross. So, I mean, you probably did well.
I mean, I did well because I'm a strategic player, not because I was good at the challenges. Although there were some that I excelled in, but, you know, more on the creative level or, you know, anytime you have to do something creative, I'm down. But who knows? Who knows? If somebody, I didn't even really know about the challenge until I actually got the call to work on it. So I don't, oh my gosh, can you guys hear the vacuum?
Yeah, of course we can. Are they in your room? Not un momento to us.
No, just hang on. Let me have to turn it off.
I know.
I think that's funny. I think you guys should play it. But that's just me producing my own podcast.
It's amazing.
I really like Survivor, actually. But I think that you should write a notebook for Tori on strategy.
Hey, I'm getting better.
I know. Last season. But
Tori,
I think you should, like...
Both of you. I mean, I would love to give props to you guys going back to that other question and seeing the evolution of the two of you. I mean.
Thank you. Look at us. We're on a podcast now.
I know.
We're so big.
We made it.
I mean, I'm rooting. Yeah, your friendship, but you guys are doing something different and you're, you know, you've stepped out of just the game and you've evolved into, you know, different types of professionals. In some capacity, in a big capacity, but you know, you never know where things are going to go for you. And I never knew I even wanted to be a TV producer when I was on Survivor. I didn't even know that was a job, really, that someone was tracking story. And I knew how that they were being interviewed, but I didn't know who did that. And then after I was like, if I could have any job ever, it would be that, you know?
Yeah.
It would be that person. And can I do that? And I'm like, oh wait, I probably can. And then they saw my resume and they're like, you like, studied to do this. There was just no class on how to be a producer, you know?
Yeah.
You learn.
I think you have it or you you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really interesting because I think that you definitely bring this aspect of strategy, right? Like you had it, you said, on your season of Survivor. And then that's really important when it comes to storyline because you're strategically following people in certain conversations. I mean, you see two people talking, you're like, all right, got to send a camera over there. Got to make sure we're logging that, getting all of that information. But it makes me wonder, you know, because it's still a game show and you're still a competitor. And does it ever make you feel like you wish you were back in the game, seeing the storylines play out, wishing you could be a part of the strategy or manipulate the game in some way?
Yes, I love the freaking game. But the way that I do that is I am able to put myself in everybody's shoes. Mm. So I am playing the game too. I'm just like morphing into people as they tell me their story. And I always put myself in everyone's shoes. Like, what would I do if I were them? Even if I can't relate to that person or their gameplay or whatever it is, but that's how I'm able to tell their story and tell an overall story, hopefully. I mean, we track it. We have no idea really what's going to happen in post, but I have a pretty good idea of how things are going to work. And I also have a little bit of intuition about the game.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. You guys always should tap into your intuition when you're playing a game like Survivor or The Challenge or whatever you're doing out there. Like I can say, listen to this because it works for me and my job and it works. I've seen it work for you guys out there playing the challenge.
Yeah.
Go with your gut, always.
Ooh, I love that.
I love it when it works.
Yeah.
I'm like, I knew it.
Yeah.
it's kind of cool to like have those gut feelings and you just don't say shit. You just watch it unfold. You're like, yo, these people are about to get in a fight. This person's about to put their foot in their mouth. And I can't wait to watch it. And I just sit in the corner like.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Because then you don't have to do shit. But you could say to yourself, like, I knew it.
I hate to make this analogy because it sounds terrible, but when I was a little kid, I used to play Barbies and it was like a full scenario, right? Mm. And each Barbie had a different personality and I put them in like extreme circumstances like the pool or the sea. And I'm like, I'm literally still playing Barbies, but they talk and they're real people.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I'm like, oh my God. And they're like jumping off the roof. And like, I mean, it was a whole thing. And now I get to do that.
That's really, really interesting.
Speaking of jumping off roofs, have you ever tested a challenge?
Ooh. Yes. I didn't test. Well, yes, I tested a couple challenges on our spinoffs when we were doing like Champs versus Stars and Champs Pros versus People.
versus People.
I forget what they're called. There's too many.
Champs versus Stars.
You guys forgot to add that to my resume. I did like 3 spinoffs.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you were there because that was a crazy little show.
Yeah. I did those. And then there was one time, I'm not allowed to know if I'm allowed to say this.
You can.
Whatever. It's always the good stuff. This is when you turn it up. No, that's actually not the big of a deal, but it was super fun. We did a challenge. I think we were in Thailand and we were trying to get some aerial shots of from above. Like this is before like drones were like really advanced. So we were trying to pick up some shots from above. And so I had some extra shorts of Ashley's and I put on her shorts because it said Ashley on the butt. And I was able to do this challenge where we like spun around on a tube and like grabbed balls or something. And it was super fun. I was like, I'll do it. They didn't use it.
Oh my
but...
God.
I mean, it was really
fun.
You
were like an Ashley body double.
Yes.
Back.
And then one time, it wasn't a test, but one time we were in Argentina at the final and we do a lot of different things. Like I'm not just tracking story. Like I'm doing so many different things at one time. So I had to, we needed a vehicle to get to the top of this mountaintop. And they're like, who can drive stick? And it was like this super high mountaintop that was like really windy road. Ugh. I love that kind of stuff. So I'm driving stick in this little truck and I bring it up to the top to drop it off for somebody to drive down. And then they're like, I needed to be on the other side to pick up where people were competing. And the only way to get across was a zip line. And they're like, do you want to just go this way? It'll be faster.
Oh, my God.
And I did.
I'm cringing.
And it was so fun.
I would have done that.
I'm scared. Fuck.
It was so fun.
I was more scared
so
of the
fun.
Helicopter to get down off a mountain. I was more scared of the helicopter. But you got to do it. It's 4 hours down the hill or it's 2 minutes in a helicopter.
Yeah. You just got to do
it. You just got to go. I mean, we do a lot of shit that's pretty scary. Like, these people that we trust with our lives, if they make one false move, I mean.
Yeah. scary. I mean, we saw it on Dirty 30, you know, when we were in the final and they pulled the parachutes. Somebody got stuck in a cactus, I'm pretty sure. Jordan, like, busted his knee. Yeah. So that was wild. Out of all of the things you've seen, the number of seasons that you've worked on, not a particular moment, but what season do you feel like has been your favorite, if you could choose one?
That's a good question. You know, I really liked Invasion because I got to work on the beach and it was very much like Survivor. That was Invasion, right?
You were home. You felt
home. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You so we were, like they were in
home.
A shelter.
The sand, the dirt. And
yes.
Home.
There was all these twig. Wild, there was all these wild dogs. I loved it. And I love watching. I mean,
with like the birthing teats.
Yes.
Oh God, Anissa.
They are. Every time you see these wild dogs, they do have like birthing teats. I mean, they're wild.
Yeah, right. They've had some babes.
Yeah, it's wild.
Wow.
So I got to be on the beach and it was something that, you know, everybody expected one thing and they got another. And I knew there was a twist coming. It was a really fun season for me because I got to work on the beach with no shoes on, you know, tracking people suffer.
Right.
I do suffer. Like that. Because I've been through it, you know, and we got to do our interviews outside. I really liked that from like a production standpoint and like.
Yeah, you know, but not working. From a hair standpoint. That's awful for us. I wanted to be on that season, but then I think about Thailand and my hair and it just would have been.
You would have pulled it off.
Oh, always. It would have been pulled up in a ponytail. That's the fucking
Do you find
just
yourself
sweaty?
Katie, do you find yourself rooting for challengers that come from Survivor? Because now we have that mashup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez, Katie. Shit.
Damn it.
I just wonder how they're. I mean, I told you.
It
I
was
root
ruthless.
For everybody. You root for everybody. But sure, I want to know how people that have played Survivor can fare in this game. It's totally different. Just because you were on Survivor and you've been through it and it's been terrible and you've been through worse, quote unquote, it depends on what is worse for you. Some people might feel comfortable living on a beach and they're outside and they might be okay out there. But then when you live in a house and you have a whole bunch of other distractions and throw in a little bit of booze, and a little bit of cabin fever, you know, people go nuts. But sure, I like to put myself in everybody's shoes. But at the same time, you know, if I know somebody's been on Survivor, of course, I'm like, I want to see how they fare. But everybody's equal. But sure, yes, of course.
Right.
Do you think they play better than Survivor competitors play better than other challengers?
We shall see.
Ooh. Oh, what is that about?
Teasy tease on this lady. Oh, Katie Teaser Gallagher.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I have a personal question. I really need to know this. You've worked on so many different types of shows, right? Like you have The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, Naked and Afraid XL. I mean, The Challenge, bunch of shit. What is your favorite?
the challenge.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yay! I mean, there's a reason why I keep coming back, and I've been doing this for a gazillion seasons. I love Survivor. I'd love to work on Survivor, but it would take a little bit of the magic away for me. I still can associate, I still can differentiate the difference between being a contestant on Survivor. You know, it's still magic to me. One time someone told me that the crew had like an ice cream machine on our season. And I was like, I don't want to hear about what the crew does. I know what the crew does on my show, but I want to keep a little bit of that magic.
Oh, I love that.
So the challenge is a really cool combination of the social dynamic and the game, similar to Survivor, but we change it up all the time. Like, I love the challenge. It's such a great show and such a, I just love it.
Yeah.
What do you think's the hardest show to win?
Like of every show?
Yeah.
Well, most competition shows, if we could just say that.
The challenge is a really difficult game because it changes
alone
every
time. Alone is really hard.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes. I would not want to be alone.
I don't think alone would be good for me, but the only ones from the ones that you've worked on. So
yeah, the challenge is hard. You know, we change the format up. I mean, the whole game is designed to not have a format.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say that, and correct me, I mean, with Survivor, it's also a popularity contest. Of like, can I get these people on my side? Once they're gone, they come back and they can vote. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And two, and then you go to the challenge where it's like, hey, if I'm good enough and I win every daily, I could just go to the final and then run it.
But when are you that
That's the difference where people aren't really, there's some people that have.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
I've never seen Rachel in elimination. Mm. Oh, except with me, twice. But besides that, normally, no. Yeah.
Wow.
Normally, no. So I've seen people not go into elimination that are that good until like later seasons. Then people were like, fuck it, we're going to vote them in.
Yeah.
You know, people got hip to like, if we keep letting good people get to the end, they're going to win CT.
oh, God.
Let's be smarter about this if we want to win money, you know? So I think that's a little bit different. And two, like, if you throw Big Brother in it, that's even, I think, even harder. Like, everybody, well, harder in a different way.
Big Brother
like,
scares
in that
me.
House for 99 days.
Scares me.
Yeah.
I need to be outside. Like, I need to. So they're all hard in different ways. Mm-hmm. But I think you can kind of muscle your way through the challenge if you're that good.
True.
I think Survivor, you need to put a little bit more personality and manipulation, I think, into that.
Mm-hmm. I forget how hard Survivor was for people. If you're not emotionally ready and physically ready to do it, you'll crack. For me, it was easy for me. It was surprisingly easy for me. I loved it. It was horrible, but I knew it was going to be horrible. Some people were cast from a bar or something and they'd never seen the show and they thought there was a green room and they're waiting for craft service and it's like, you're in trouble.
No.
So I knew what to expect because I was such a fan, but I don't want to say Survivor was easy for me, but you know, I hurt myself and I couldn't use my hands. So my team let me sit out and we just kept winning. And there's a lot of other elements that happen, but yeah, Survivor is very hard. I think it's the hardest one. If you can play Survivor, you can come and win the challenge for sure. So yeah,
I think that's why Survivor people get targeted pretty early most of the time, because strong Survivor members get casted. I mean, we have Jay, we have Natalie, like people who have been beasts on the show.
Well, Natalie can run anywhere. And if you can survive Survivor, like, and it's not even the one in the States. I'm talking about the one overseas where you're there for like 5 months.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it takes a certain kind of person to, to have the wherewithal to sit out there with no food, no shelter, nothing. You know, and then play a mind game.
Right.
And then with nothing in your body, play a physical one.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it takes a certain kind of person to stay that long. I think I could do Survivor. I think I have enough body fat
enough
to do it. One.
Oh, my God.
I think people would try and eat me.
And
be like, that looks good.
What? No one's going to try to eat you unless it was consensual.
It's going to be like alive.
Unless
someone's
going to
get
so hungry.
That was our favorite game to play. Who are we going to eat first?
Oh, well, it totally would be me. I also like Survivor because there are all these demographics, body types, age.
Yeah.
Like, you have everybody. And it's not like this sexy time. Like, people are really there to, like, test themselves, too, which I think is a big thing. Like, when you do these shows, you learn a lot about yourself. And I'm sure even from the production side.
Katie, did you... Yeah. Did you ever get offered to go back on Survivor? Because they do that. Like, I know that there's people who have come back from the early games and played again. Some people have won multiple times. Have you ever thought about it?
They never asked.
Oh, so. Those.
But I did hear I was in the running for, and I have no idea if this is true, but I heard I was in the running for Heroes versus Villains, which is great.
You'd be a hero?
No, I'd be a villain.
So. Oh, I need to watch this show. I guess I love you too much and I can't see anything bad, but I need to go watch if you're a villain. There's this whole side of you.
I don't think I was that much.
I don't know who you are.
I don't think I was. That's why it was kind of a stretch, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was too much of a stretch, I think, for that. But no one ever like officially called. But, you know, and I also got really sick after Survivor with heart issues and stuff like that. So I don't know if at the time I would have been okay to do that physically, but I mean, I would do it. I would do it if somebody asked.
Oh, she's going back, baby.
Your heart's good.
I don't think they would ever ask.
I'm fired up.
That's great. Yeah.
You never know. I'm going to call them up and be like, I would really like to see her again. We're going to write in fan mail. Also known as emails.
We're putting our phalanges out there. Them. Yeah. Everybody, if you're listening to this podcast, please spam the Survivor producers. And tell them we work with Katie Gallagher on it because we got to see this. The challengers need to watch a producer on a show again. It's only fair.
It was so bad. I was so embarrassing and so terrible. But why not?
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Anissa, I can't believe you've not seen it so bad. Oh my God.
Because I like to keep the image I have of you pure.
Saint-like.
But now I'm going to go watch. I'm definitely going to go watch. I want to switch gears for 1 second and talk about All-Stars because I love that show. I think it was great. I think it's great. All-Stars 2 was completely different than All-Stars 1. There was no nicey-nice. People are really trying to play. Is there anything you can tell us about All-Stars 3?
Ooh.
I don't know. Can I?
No, yeah, but
I mean,
do
like,
it.
Intensity-wise, like, is it different than All-Stars 2? Is it more cutthroat, less? Are there hookups? I'm using my dinosaur because I'm really serious.
Anissa is holding a dinosaur.
What's your dinosaur's name?
Oh, I didn't name him yet.
It's named Katie. It's a Katie-saurus and it wants to know the scoop.
All-Stars 3, it's really good. It's really good, I'll tell you that. And quite unexpected. I'm trying to be vague without giving any spoilers, but everybody came to play, you know?
That's
like the
good.
First time, everyone's like, yay! And the second time, they're like, wait. We got to play a little bit more. Let's do this, right? And then 3, people are ready to game.
We heard the cast, word on the streets, unreleased, is that there's some heavy hitters in there. So can we be excited for the cast of it?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Like, it was really fun to watch. The games are really fun to watch.
I love that.
Yeah. You guys are going to like it.
All-Stars is an awesome experience compared to the challenge. I mean, they're still equally as hard. I think people just really went into it like this is going to be a different thing. And which gave anybody from like the actual, like the main show to like a little bit of an advantage because they knew what to expect. But boy, it's going to get tougher and tougher.
I love it because the people are, you know, a little bit more mature and have bigger stakes. They have people at home. They have real lives. Mm-hmm. Not to say that people don't have real lives, but you know, they have other people. The stakes seem to be higher. I think people take a time out of their life when they have like a professional career and step into something that was left in their past, you know,
right,
and then come back and revisit that is not an easy thing to do. And I just said I would do it, but I maybe not would not do that again. That was hard.
Right. I'm sure it would be really hard. Yeah.
I want to know, Katie, honest opinion. If we had a show, half challengers, half survivors, who's winning?
Ooh.
Depends on the game, Anissa.
Damn it.
If the game wasn't
it
Survivor.
Listen, I think Survivors are really smart. They're really smart, yeah. But then you also have people that have played the challenge before that are really smart and experienced. You might be able to like not navigate your way through the challenge. Just because you're on Survivor doesn't mean that you can figure out the challenge. It's different. It's scrappy. You got to be good at a lot of different things. You can't just be good at like bringing fish to the camp and nobody, and you don't have to, you're not voted at the end, by your peers to see if you win. You just have to be good socially and physically. So
I'm trying to do all those puzzles on Survivor.
Yeah.
While sweating, while people look at me and say, I would eat her first.
Yeah. What a delight.
Rotisserie Anissa.
Oh, yes. That's cute.
That's a rotisserie.
Rotisserie. That's cute. Well, Katie, we don't want to keep you any longer. We only have like one more question for you because we know that you're out there busy doing something super top secret. So, final question. Is there any particular decision or choice you've made while producing the challenge that you are most proud of?
This just happened, but my biggest thing is when people want to quit, I don't want people to ever quit because we can't do things that in life that we're afraid of and just walk away from it. And I don't want people to walk away from this experience having any regrets. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. I mean, it happens 2 or 3 times a season when people want to go home and I talk them out of it. I also want people to make their own decision, but I pride myself on bringing people back to their own light and empowering them to continue to move on, because I know that this show will be one of the hardest things that people do, but it can also change your life if you really start doing things that you're afraid of doing, because it all comes from fear. So if I can empower people to continue on the journey, then I've done my job. I might not go out and save people's lives or work in a hospital, but if I can make the audience laugh and I can empower people to be their best them, then I've done my job and I can sleep at night.
That's a huge and beautiful job, Katie.
We need that. You do that, though.
Yeah.
You do do that, though.
Yeah.
You do make a difference in our experience, mm-hmm. I think, personally. And
thank
it's not
you.
Because I've worked with you for a while, but you always have,
Yeah.
We need that, kind of light on the other side, too, that's like, hang in there. You got it. Like, we're proud of you. You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And
also, something to say about working in entertainment. And my dad always says this to me because he's the sweetest guy in the whole world. But he's like, if people, yes, we need doctors. Yes, we need people to help us physically throughout our lives. But we need to be entertained as a society. We need to have something that we can watch that makes us feel happy and forget that there's a lot of shit on in this world. So this is an important job to have. You are literally helping the people who are on the show, who are supposed to be entertaining audiences. And off the show, because you're helping the people who are filming. So it's such an incredible and important job. And so don't ever forget that. And you have touched so many people in the best way. Literally, when we found out you were in our interview today, we were so excited. We could not wait to talk to you. You've made such a lasting impression on so many incredible cast members. And we love you so, so much. So thank you for
having me. Tori's going to now recite a haiku she wrote for you.
And Kate is going to weep.
Then bring over the Kleenex.
Thank you.
Tell the person who is vacuuming, ask them if they have any Kleenex over there.
I kicked her out. Sorry.
God, you villain.
I love you, Katie.
I love you too. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so proud of you for doing this and bringing people a little bit of a look behind the curtain and giving us some credit, behind the camera.
Yes. Of course.
Thank you so
much. We wouldn't be here without you.
Aw, well, we look forward to seeing you soon. Hopefully, we love you, Katie.
Okay. Bye,
bye, baby.
Thank you.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, Katie is such a gem. Don't we just love her?
She's great. There's no one else like her.
Literally, no. It's like every time we go on a show, I'm always like, I hope Katie's here. She just has this like infectious energy. You just love.
Yeah. And she has all the essential oils just in case you have an eating challenge. And she wears cute little dicky suits and looks adorable while we look like shit. Well, we thought we were cute to not wear makeup. We should be wearing makeup at every shot.
I know. It's
every chance we can get.
Well, Anissa, where can people follow you and send you beautiful pictures of you without makeup on?
Oh, my God. Stop it. You can follow me on Instagram at AnissaMTV. That's AnneesaMTV. Tori, where can they follow you? Show you some love.
Yes, you guys can follow me at Tori_Deal on Instagram. But more importantly, if you liked this episode, please, 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 please rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
And we will see you back here next Friday for an all-new episode of MTV's official Challenge Podcast.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.